Well, greetings in Jesus' name, all the way from Iowa. Thank you for the invitation. I need revival as well, and I'm looking forward to this week, spending some extra time before the Lord and with the saints, and getting on some preaching, hearing some preaching myself. And of course, when I preach, we preach to ourselves, don't we, Dale? So thank you for giving me the opportunity to get away from a busy schedule this fall and have some time with the Lord. As the schedule says, the subject tonight is the Valley of Dry Bones, and that is the title of the message. The message tonight is to God's people, to the Christian, as the verse up there on the board says. David asks the question, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people, the Christians, may rejoice in thee?" So the message tonight is to God's people, the Christian, and we will look to the Lord to revive us. I hope that's what you want. I know that's what I want. I know that's what God wants. I know that. But Brother John mentioned that, we need humility, I believe, was one of the things he mentioned, if we're going to have revival. And there's another thing I think we need, another aspect. If we're going to have revival, if God is going to work in our midst this week, that I'd like to take time to just talk about briefly before the message. It's not really part of the message, but I think it would be important to just take a few minutes and allow God's word to perhaps bring faith in our hearts. If we're going to experience revival, I believe we need to have faith and believe God's promises. And so turn with me in your Bibles for a reading scripture to Psalms 145 as we consider what we are doing this week, putting this week aside every evening, coming together and seeking the Lord as your flyer states, seeking the face of God. And so just allow these words in Psalms 145 to minister to your soul, to make that application to your own heart where you can, and just let it bless you in light of the week's messages here. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's one of the reasons I chose to do this. And just to make the connection that we are not outside of God's time of moving among his people. Amen? God has not drawn back and decided that era is past and we just need to eke out our Christian life without him. I don't believe that at all tonight, and this word speaks to that and gives us some encouragement, some direction for a week like this. Psalms 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. We hope to at least endeavor to do some of that this week, to search out the heart of God, but the extent of it is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Hallelujah. That's what we get to do this week. We're somewhere in the succession of generations, and here we are. We have the Word of God, and we get to talk about it. And to declare God's mighty acts, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Oh God, help us to do that this week. To speak of thy glorious honor and thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. Oh, it's so important that from time to time we just remember the goodness of the Lord. Even in our own personal lives, that we remember, go back and remember what God did for me. And if you want a recipe for revival, that's one thing you can do, is to in your mind go back and bring up things that you know God did for you. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious. It's good to remember when we go into a week of like this and the preacher may preach hard messages, but in all of that, the Lord is gracious. And his design is to save, and his design is to have mercy upon us. Amen. And full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Just think about the Almighty God, gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They, thy saints, shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. When was the last time you did that? From the heart, with feeling, talk about the glory of the kingdom of God and talk about the power of God. And they do this to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. O Lord, open our eyes this week to the glorious majesty of your kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them meat in their in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Oh my. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord will preserve all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all the flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Let's bow our heads again for prayer. Lord God in heaven, eternal Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of the Lord Jesus, Father of the Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. God, we thank you that your promises are true. and they extend to us tonight, Lord, and this word that we preach and that we hold in our hands is the eternal, established, unchangeable word of the Lord. Oh God, help us. Help us, God. Help us, oh God, in this our day to proclaim your greatness in such a way, Lord, that brings glory to you and puts fear in our hearts, Lord, and changes us and revives us, oh God. Oh God, we beg you for the message tonight and for the meetings this week, Lord, and the gathering together. We beg you for your mercy, Lord. We have an enemy, God, and we pray that you would rebuke him away from us, Lord. Lord, we pray for the sickness, God. We pray for a miracle. We pray, God, you would keep us, Lord. We pray you would heal those that are sick, God. We pray you would bring people in, God, to hear the word of the Lord in these days. Oh, God, we pray for the neighbors and the people in this community, Lord, and those that should come. God, we pray you'd stir in their hearts to come, Lord. You can do these things, oh God. So, Lord, help me tonight, oh God, as I yield myself to you. Help me to speak your will, Lord, tonight. Oh God, help me to say the things that you've given me to say, Lord. Oh God, Lord, oh God. Lord, we find ourselves in this point in time in eternity, Lord. Here we are in a meeting, in a gathering house in Woodbury, Tennessee, in 2020. Oh, God in heaven, we don't know how many days are left before you come, God, but God, here we are tonight proclaiming the gospel, preaching the word. Lord, give your blessing. May the blessing that you pronounced on Abraham fall upon us tonight, Lord. And revive us again, O Lord, by your Spirit, with your word, through the preaching of the word, Lord. Revive us again, God. And do this, O God, for your great name's sake. And Lord, help us, help me to give you all the glory. O God, I pray. In Jesus' name, your lovely Son, may he receive the reward of his sufferings, Lord, by this gathering tonight. Oh, Jesus, bless us for thy name's sake. Bless the bread, bless the loaves, bless the fishes, Lord. Turn the water into wine, God. Open our eyes, soften our hearts, Lord. Turn us again, O God, and revive us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just like to read a line from a song. That thy people may rejoice in thee. The song Rescue the Perishing, the third line says, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. That's revival. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken will vibrate once more. That's revival. Well, I wrote the wrong number down. Let me find it. Showers of blessings. There shall be showers of blessings. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling. And I'm sure we could all talk about some mercy drops that we've experienced. But are you pleading for the showers? Are you pleading for the showers? And one more song that I'd like to read something out of is 520. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and cleansed every stain. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Revive us again. Do it, Lord. Well, you may turn in your Bibles to our text tonight in Ezekiel 37. We have a beautiful account here in Ezekiel 37, and it's a display of God's mighty power to revive. So let me read this portion, verse 1 to verse 14. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring flesh up, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And so prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And God showed him the vision. The vision was settling down on Ezekiel's heart. And God told him, prophesy, preach, speak, prophesy and say. We have the third part, the word. Now we're looking at revival. We're looking at reviving dead things. We're looking at reviving God's people. We need God. I believe we have God here this week, where where we gather in Jesus' name, where we sing praises to God. There he inhabits the praises. I believe God is here. We have God. We have a few preachers. We have the Word. Praise God. The fourth part, God used the wind, the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, we won't be revived. We need the Spirit of God. I believe we have the Spirit of God because we ask Him to give us His Spirit. We have God. We have man. We have the Word. We're believing God for the Spirit to work upon our hearts. And we come to the fifth part. And we're going to spend some time on the fifth part here. We have the need. We have God picking up Ezekiel and taking him to the valley of very dry and dead bones. God didn't tell him till the end of the vision that this is the whole house of Israel. This is how my people look. But so I don't know when that dawned on Ezekiel, probably not till God told him. But God takes Ezekiel and places him in the midst of this horrific need. It must have looked like a recent battlefield with skeletons. Well, not even skeletons. They were scattered. They weren't nice skeletons. Well, skeletons can be nice. They weren't skeletons laying all over. They were just a knee over there and a hip over there and a skull over there. It was a terrible scene. And God sets him right down in the midst of that valley. It wasn't just a bone here or there. It was full. I mean, he probably had to kick them out of the way as he walked in the midst of these bones. There were so many of them. And it says, this was not just a quick glance from the hill. It says that God caused him, in verse 2, to pass by them round about. Ezekiel needed to feel this need. Ezekiel needed to see the depth of how dry and how dead and how scattered these bones really are. And so God took him all the way through the middle of those bones. And here's a skull and here's a hand. This is very dead. And it started, you know, what this settling down on his heart. He felt the need, I'm sure. There were very many. There were very many. This was a terrible scene. They were very dry. They were very dry. The need. So the question that I want us to consider tonight is this. As God's people, just the question, throwing it out, where am I at in this scene? Where am I at? Where are you at in this scene? Remember, these were God's people. At one time, they had the light of God upon them. God went before them with that pillar of fire by night and with that cloudy, that pillar of cloud by day. They were God's people. They had the anointing, but they lost it. And now they are very dead to God. And so the question is to you and me, where am I at as a Christian in this scene? Am I among those many dry bones scattered in the valley? Or am I standing with Ezekiel with the burden of the Lord upon my heart that God's people should have? And if the joy of the Lord is not my strength that God's people should have, and if I forget to pray that to my God that God's people should do, and if I go to God's house and I do not offer up praises, heartfelt praises of thanksgiving and worship and glory to my God that should flow from a Christian. And if I don't have a burden for the glory of God in His church, among His people, then I'm among the dry bones in need of revival by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, by the prophet of God. On the other hand, if I am burdened tonight for the church, the lack of her spiritual luster, if it grieves me at the lack of her power and at the lack of her answers to prayer and the lack of prophetic preaching and the lack of her influence in the community, if I am burdened about that, and if I am burdened for the family, if I am burdened for my marriage, if I am burdened for my children, as a young person, if you're burdened for your dad or your mom or your brother or your sister, if you carry a burden on your heart as a Christian, and if I am burdened for relationships in my life as a Christian, I know some are not right. There's issues. There's offenses that I can't get over. But I'm burdened about it. If I'm burdened about relationships in the church, if I'm burdened about my relationship with my co-worker and the testimony that I left or didn't leave, and I'm burdened about that, if I'm burdened for my testimony, my own testimony, the little to no power, the lack of joy, the overoccupied with other things, the distraction of the world in my life, if I'm burdened about that, and it's a prayer and a cry in my heart, and it's been that way for a long time, and we're gathering here tonight, and you're carrying these burdens as a Christian, and you maybe have memories of revival, how it used to be. I understand this church was packed at one time, right? And there was a light upon this place, and you're burdened about that. And as a Christian tonight, you're wondering, could it ever be that way again? If you're in that camp, then God is asking you a question. Can these bones live? Can things change? Asking you that. Do you believe in the burden of your heart? And sometimes they get big and sometimes they just turn from a burden to discouragement. And so we sit and we wonder. And God says, to us tonight. Christian, can these bones live? Can your church live? Can your marriage live? Can it change? Could your church again have spiritual luster? Could it have power? Could there be answers to prayer? Could there be prophetic preaching? Can these bones live? Could your marriage here tonight, those on the phone, that is struggling and has struggled for a long time, and you wonder, is this just the way it's got to be? Are you walking down in the midst of this valley, and it's dry, and it's dead, very dead. And you wonder, well, I guess I just need to walk by faith, and this is just the way it's going to be. You know, not a lot of vitality, not a lot of life there. Oh, my children, the needs as a parent. God, could you revive my family? Could you save my son? Could you, God, walk in that valley? And hear God ask you, brother, sister, father, mother, can they live? Can it live? Can it be different? Can it change? Young people, if you're here and you've struggled with your parents a long time, their authority, their decisions, their guidance, it looks big. I know it does. God is asking you, can it live? Can it change? Is it beyond hope? My relationships outside the home, should I just move? Should I just put distance between it? Should I just get out of the valley? Lord, I've had no victory in my life for so long. Is this the Christian life? Where's the joy, Lord? It's very dry. It's big. It's full. Everywhere I look, I see death. Can it live? Can these bones live? God is asking you, if there's a glimmer of hope, if there's a glimmer of a burden that you wish it could be different. As you look at your church's needs, as you look at the family's needs, as you look at relationships' needs, as you look at your own needs, can these bones live? Is it too far gone? Is it too bad? Is there no hope? And I think Ezekiel's answer was very critical. Very critical. He said, O Lord God, thou knowest. That was a good answer. He didn't say no. He didn't say yes. And God was obviously okay with that answer. Here's why, I think. I think as Ezekiel walked around on those bones, they were very dry. And I think as he looked at them through his own eyes, he would have said, no, no, they can't live. It's over. It's over. It's too hard. It's too big. It's too painful. It's too massive. God, in my estimation, no. But then he looked to God before he spoke. And he thought about God and his power to create and to recreate, if you will, to revive. And he thought about that. And perhaps he thought about memories and accounts of the past. And he simply said, Lord, you know. Lord, and I'm just kind of adding in here a little bit. Lord, I know you can. I know you can. I'm not sure if you will. It is very dry. Lord, you know. It was an honest answer. And I think that's why the Lord liked it. There was another time God asked a man a question. The answer was different, and the outcome was totally different. You can turn with me to Genesis 4. We'll quickly look at the account there where Cain and Abel, where God is talking to Cain. And he asks him a question. Ask him a couple questions. First round of questions, Cain didn't answer. Genesis chapter 4. Cain was wroth because God hadn't accepted his offering there. And God asked him in verse 7, Cain, if thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So he asked Cain, are you okay being angry with me? Cain didn't answer. Cain went out, talked with Abel. Came to pass, they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And God comes on the scene again and says, Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Number one, that was a lie. It's not the truth. I know not. And number two, am I my brother's keeper? It seems so careless for humanity, for his brother, so disconnected. Am I my brother's keeper? So cold, so hard. What was God looking for? I believe he was simply looking for an honest answer. Oh, I killed him and he's buried under that behind that bush. Okay. Thank you for telling me. But no, he lied and he had a terrible heart. Am I my brother's keeper? By the way, God never asks questions that he doesn't ask questions because he don't know the answer. He knows the answer. He asks the questions for our sake, for man's sake. And I think God was looking for the fear of God. He had no fear of God. He could have known that God knows where he is and what happened. But he disdained. So the outcome of this episode here was death. Death. Cain experienced a curse. God said to him, he said in verse 10, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. A curse. A curse. Dost thou doeth well? Shalt thou not be accepted? Well, Cain received a curse, death. Ezekiel, on the other hand, experienced revival, a blessing. I think the difference between these two men was Ezekiel believed God and Cain did not. Faith in God is critically important to the man or woman who stands in the valley of the church these days and views the landscape or. Did you get that? Faith is critically important tonight as we stand in the valley of the church and we see before our very eyes a great falling away. And we see a profession many times that does not match up with the book. And we wonder and we try to find our way through these things. And it's a terrible scene. There are people professing Christianity that look like the devil. And the list goes on and on. People that once made a heartfelt profession for God and walk with God today say, you know, it never really was real to me anyway, and I just decided I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. I don't believe that. I believe they were right with God at one time. We serve God by faith, for one, and sometimes it doesn't feel good to be a Christian. And so we see all these skeletons and bones in Christendom. And tonight, faith in God is critically important to us as we view this landscape are. And God asks the question, can these bones live? Maybe even coming back again a little closer home as we remember strong moves of God. We were there. We experienced it. We saw people being changed from an alcoholic to being clean and free and the joy of the Lord and the power of God in his life. We saw that, many of us. And that's not happening so much anymore. And that's why we're here this week, at least one of the reasons. Oh God, wilt thou not revive us again? Oh God, give us faith to believe that you can resurrect, that you can revive some very dead things. Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? I don't know. Let me say it this way, brothers and sisters. We need to pray for the wind of God to blow again. Amen. We need a reviving from the presence and spirit of the living God. Going back to our text for our last part, the sixth part that we didn't look at yet. Let me just quickly go down over that again. First part being God, second part being man, the third part being the word, the fourth part being the wind, the fifth part, the need. So he soaked in the need and he believed God. And the sixth part is change. Things happen. There was a noise. Hallelujah. There was a noise. I've noticed that when very quiet people, when God revives them, they get a little noisy. They have a testimony. Amen. Sometimes they're told to be a little quiet. You know the stories. Don't be so radical. Well, the problem is they were dead and now they're alive and they're a little noisy. So here we see in our text here, the last part, things begin to change. Imagine, I don't know if Ezekiel was still standing down there in the valley in the midst of all of this, but all of a sudden, the knee bone flew over to the hip, to the leg and the hip, and all of a sudden there were skeletons all around him. And then sinews and flesh came upon him, came upon them. And now there's a whole army of dead corpses laying there, perfectly looking like people, human beings, but they're dead still. And God says, prophesy. And the Spirit came upon them. And now there was not only noise, but there was movement, more movement. They stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Verse 10. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. I think our churches, one of the things that troubles me and I'm burdened about, our churches are too quiet. There's no more testimonies, or very little. And there should be a testimony flowing from our hearts. And if we don't have a testimony, we should be concerned about that. We should be a bit noisy about that. Where's my testimony? I'm a child of God. And God says, this is the whole house of Israel. Look at them, Ezekiel. They're very quiet. There they lay, very quiet. But when the Spirit of God began to move, they became noisy. And there was a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And then he prophesied to the wind, O son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And they lived and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So can these bones live? So I'm just going to trust the Lord tonight that as we went down through there, and the message tonight is to God's people, and we're here for revival and to seek the Lord. And maybe God spoke to you. Maybe God spoke to you. I'm going to give you an opportunity to just come before God and humble yourself and believe God and pray to God and seek God and believe God that and confess our unbelief and that we could at least say, oh God, you are God. Thou knowest. You know my predicament. Maybe he and a few others are the only one that know your predicament. Maybe many people don't know the condition of your heart. But God knows the condition of your heart. So we're going to pray. And we're going to have a song. And we're going to give an opportunity for us to respond to the Lord. So let's pray. Lord God in heaven, O God of Ezekiel, we call upon you in Jesus' name. Lord, Lord, thou knowest. Oh Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest every heart here. Thou knowest my heart, Lord. Thou knowest what went on throughout the message, Lord. And so, God, I pray that you would bless this word tonight, God. And if there's someone here, Lord, that needs to step up and step out and go into a prayer room and just deal with something that you specifically put your finger on in their heart, Lord, I pray that you would do that, that judgment might begin at the house of God tonight. Lord, this is Monday night. And if we get ourselves all clear and all right with God and all full of faith and get our conscience with a void of offense tonight, hallelujah, then what will the Lord do? Praise God. The rest of the week. So God, we trust this time into your hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand and sing a few lines of Just As I Am. And we're not going to tarry long, but we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. And I'm going to have to ask what number that is. Does someone know offhand? I'm sorry? 228. So you come forward, come to the Lord if you need to, and get right with God. Go ahead.